Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Today's episode, A Lasting Legacy. This past week, I went to a wedding in Charleston, South Carolina. As part of the weekend, my sister-in-law arranged for us to take a walking tour of the historic city. During the walking tour, we listened to a very smart and witty guide tell us the storied past of a city that's played many roles in the history of the United States. Charleston has evidence of early settlements, agriculture, colonial slave trading, revolutionary heroes, the start of the Civil War, and now a hopping tourist community with a very hip colonial feel. Plus, on my walking tour, I got to see where Stephen Colbert grew up. On the walking tour, I was thinking a lot of all the people, both past and present, who walked these same cobblestone streets. As a teacher and a lover of history, I find myself romanticizing when I'm walking in historical environments and living in those different types of moments. So when we entered the courtyard outside of St. Michael's Church, where people have continuously worshipped in multiple different structures since the 1680s, we walked through a small gate and entered the cemetery. It was here that I lost track of the words and voice of our tour guide because my eye caught two gravestones. Now, growing up in Wisconsin, history here is brand new relative to South Carolina or any of the original 13 colonies. We became a state in 1848, which is hundreds of years after Europeans were on the east coast of the Americas. Old in Wisconsin would be considered recent in the colonies and new in Europe, Asia, or Africa. So when I saw the two gravestones of a husband and wife, I stopped. I was first struck by the age of the husband and the wife at their death. The woman was Margaret Charlotte Elford, and the man, her husband, was Captain James Maud Elford. He was 54 when he passed, and she was 43 years, 4 months, and 20 days old when she passed away. She passed away May 9, 1817, and her husband lived another 9 years, and they were buried side by side. Other than the dates on the gravestone, which were not, by the way, the oldest there, I was struck by these two and their stories. Now, today, when we lose a loved one, we simply put names and years of the life and maybe even a small passage on the headstone, but these two had a story on their gravestone. The captain had a description of his career, his work as an author after retiring from the sea, his hobbies, a poem honoring his work, and his interests, as well as the fact that he fathered 12 children. His accomplishments were so many that the craftsman who was carving the gravestone you could see started to run out of room, and he changed the font and letter size towards the bottom of the gravestone. Now, I do not want to focus on his resume, which was really impressive and clearly a legacy. I want to instead talk about Margaret's legacy. As leaders, every day we take actions that leave a mark, and this mark is how we impress upon others our leadership and influence. Now recall my definition of a leader. A leader is anyone who has influence over another person, making us all leaders. And buffalo leaders, well, buffalo leaders are those who charge optimistically into every situation. So what would the legacy be of someone like this? And what does a buffalo gravestone look like? Well, let me tell you about Margaret's gravestone. It was 3 feet high and 2 feet wide. Carved stone that has aged and is covered in soot and moss. It's adorned with a carved and trumpeting angel at the top and has a wonderful and unique engraving on it. It reads as follows. Sacred. To the memory of Margaret Charlotte Elford, who departed this life 9 May 1817, age 43 years, 4 months, and 20 days. She must have lived life to its fullest because they counted every day on her tombstone. And it continues. Leaving a husband with 7 young children to lament their irreparable loss. Clearly life without her leadership was going to be tough. But it is the second part of the headstone that made me think about leadership and legacy. Because the next 6 lines were her core descriptors and clearly identified her character. I want you to reflect on this for a moment. Now, 4 inches from her marker is her husband's, which is a resume of accomplishments and contributions to the seafaring world. But Margaret has this written on her headstone. It's simple. It says, she was, in childhood obedient, in wedlock virtuous, in prosperity humble, in adversity resigned, in sickness patient. In death, happy. Obedient, virtuous, humble, resigned, patient, and happy. Two gravestones, both centuries old and yet very different stories. One of values and one of accomplishments. Both impressive and both legacies. Yet, one is simple and elegant and lists the core values and behaviors that guided her life. She was a great child, a wonderful wife, and maintained her humility when they became wealthy. When she faced adversity, she took it on. And as she grew sick, she sounds like she was pretty classy. Everything from here is an assumption based upon my thinking in that cemetery. But Margaret sounds like a pretty great lady. Elegant, beautiful, loving, and optimistic. The two headstones made me wonder what I'd rather have. And then made me think about the words that would be on my headstone. And of course sparked this podcast. One is a resume that, albeit is very impressive, has a lot of information. And the other is simple and elegant. Both document their legacy, and one made me really reflective, so much so that I kept daydreaming during the remaining tour and thinking about Margaret and how much I admired her headstone. Which, for a history teacher, made me feel a little weird, because that cemetery had United States ambassadors in it, admirals of our Navy during the Revolution and the Civil War, very wealthy merchants, Revolutionary War veterans, and other famous people. One presidential and vice presidential candidate was there. But I couldn't stop thinking about the six simple lines and how lasting of a legacy that was. How her family could go there and see their great-grandmother's characteristics on the headstone and probably match some of those traits that were passed down by her seven children. A woman or leader that models humility and patience for her children is likely to leave a lasting imprint. So as leaders, what type of legacy do we leave when we are in the presence of others? Regardless of your role in life, you're always leading and influencing, and if all the people who knew you were to get together and had to create a six-line history of you and your values, what would they write? It's an overwhelming reflection. Plus, I mean, honestly, people really don't like to think about this. But flip it around then. Let's think about it in the short term. When you leave a room, how do people describe you when you're gone? In several episodes, we've talked about core values and people who live by them. We've reflected upon how core characteristics of leadership can be easily described by others. But what would it be if everyone you grew up with, studied and learned with, worked with, played with, and met had to describe you in six words? Would it be easy or difficult for them? Would they all be similar in their descriptions? Would your friends and classmates or colleagues say the same as your loved ones? Think about it. Truly think about it. Are you consistent in your life of leadership so that your legacy is clear? Or are you different in different situations, making you inconsistent and hard to describe? Do you define your legacy daily by being true to yourself and what you value? Is your legacy simple and elegant? When you depart this great world, what gifts will you have imparted on all those around you? Will you be described in six and simple, powerful words? So let's do some smart thinking. How consistent are you in living your life in the service of others? Can you be described simply by those you are around? When you lead, do you lead from your core values? And finally, sometime when you're daydreaming, write down the six words that you'd like to define your history. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, I'd ask that you share this on your social media platform and help me and CISA 6 help others by sharing this episode and others with your friends and family. And also, I want to thank the Wellpennies for their music. As we close out, I want you to think about the song that accompanies this podcast. Many of you have sent me notes saying, hey, I run to this music now and I really like the Wellpennies. It's good, relaxing music. It's reflective. It's good songwriting. But you need to know it's no accident that I chose World Shaker, the song that accompanies the podcast. I hope that one of the six words that I'm described as in life, in passing, is buffalo. For two reasons. First is that I live every day to charge into new situations with optimism, and I'm actually energized when serving others and helping them be more buffalo. Because frankly, if we were all buffaloes, we would truly shake the world as we charge through life. And second, once I was in that cemetery, I started thinking, What in the world would people 200 years from now be thinking if they read on my headstone, Theodore Charles Nightsky IV, Buffalo? Some tour guide would have to tell one really long story.
Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? There's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you